Thank you so much, Frank Justice, for leading us this morning. We're glad to see you here in chapel this morning. Welcome to our Thursday morning chapel service. We're going to be led in prayer by Sherry Paris, who is a senior MDiv student here and currently serving as a student council treasurer and also works with us in the communication office here at school. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Sherry Paris will lead us. And Sherry, as we pray, let's remember those of our student body who are suffering right now. We have several who are quite ill, and we need to pray for them as well as for our coming revival. Sherry Paris, you come and lead us, please.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this glorious day that you've given us to come together and to serve you and to worship you. And Lord, I just thank you for Jesus and everything that he's done to bring us back to you so that we can fellowship with you. Lord, just forgive us for all that we do to stray from you, and just help us to constantly remember to look to you in all that we do and all that we say. Lord, thank you for this day and for this day that you've given us to set aside to especially thank the women in our seminary. And Lord, I especially thank you today for all the wives that are present. Thank you for instituting the family for us as a vehicle and a way that we can come to know our relationship with you. And Lord, just pray for all the women here today, and that we will receive a special word from you so that we can be better able to serve you in the family unit. And Lord, I do pray for our campus revival, Lord. Just give us all a special burden so that we can't hardly wait for it to get here, Lord. I just pray that you will give us all a burden for the lost in our community and the surrounding area, so that we'll go out and start to win them even now, Lord, that we'll begin to win them to you and to draw them in for October 12th, 13th, and 14th, Lord, that we'll just see a mighty work from God in this place. Lord, I do also remember those in our family that are sick. Lord, we just began a new semester, and we all need all the strength that we can get. Lord, I just pray that you'll touch those that are suffering and just give them special strength from you so that we can go through the semester, so that we can be better equipped as ministers for you. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us, and be with us now as through the rest of the service. Just give us a special word from you, and it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Tonight, on Thursday night, tonight at 6:30, right here in Binkley Chapel in the area down below, will be your last opportunity to sign up for evening classes. We hope that you'll do that if you have not already. Steve Andrews teaching an Old Testament introductory class, and then Mrs. Patterson is teaching a class in the Christian family. And I want to say to students again, if your spouse is not attending school, but helping you get through school, you need to babysit, and you need to have your spouse attend that class. And so let me urge you to do that. As I told you yesterday, if you do, the day will come when you'll rise up and call me blessed. And so please, by all means, take advantage of that. Especially, we want to say that to those of you who are new students coming in. We like to ask particularly that every wife of a student take time to come and take that course. It'll mean a lot to you down through the years in your ministry. 24 years ago, a remarkable event occurred, and that event was the founding of the Great Hills Women's Retreat. I believe that God raises up people at pivotal and special times in history to do something that perhaps hasn't really been done in quite the same way. And that's exactly what happened with Mrs. Harold Ochester, Barbara Ochester, who's here with us today and will be on our campus tomorrow and Saturday for one of the now famous Great Hills Women's Retreats. That was founded 24 years ago. The retreat ministry hosts 15 different retreats a year in 8 different states across the United States, and we're so fortunate to have Barbara Ochester and this retreat ministry coming here on campus at this time. And so tomorrow evening and in Saturday, the retreat will be going on. If you want to know how you can get in on it, well, you see Mrs. Patterson or some of these others, and they'll tell you how you can do that. Barbara Ochester and her husband, Brother Harold, have 3 daughters, all of whom are busily involved in the work of the Savior. And God has used Barbara Ochester, I believe, in one of the most remarkable ministries that I've ever seen. A time or two, I've happened to be on the premises when they were having one of these meetings. And when the doors open, you better stand aside or you'll be trampled. I never saw so many enthusiastic women in my life turned on to the work of the Lord and doing what the Savior asked them to do. And I'm very, very grateful for Barbara Ochester and what she has done. Her husband, Harold, is a dear, precious friend of mine who is pastor of the Great Hills Baptist Church in Austin, Texas. I always like to be aware of some things that people do sometimes. There was a day when he was pastor in Mississippi, and typical of Brother Harold, he ended up on the death list of the Ku Klux Klan, And it's good to know that sort of thing, you know, because sometimes we're led to believe that all of our Southern Baptist churches totally failed in the days when we were, unfortunately, a segregated church. But that's not true. Not all of them did. Harold O. Chester's a case in point of a man who took a strong stand, and as a result of it, paid a heavy price. But I thank the Lord for Harold and Barbara O. Chester, and I want you to hear her today with open heart and open mind as she comes to share with us this day. Jeff Noble is a student from Florence, South Carolina, first-year MDiv student here, serving as Minister of Music and Youth at Faith Baptist Church. Jeff's going to come and sing for us, and then when he has sung, then you'll listen to Barbara O. Chester.
I'm delighted to be here with you this morning. I must admit to you, until about 2 weeks ago, I was scared to death. And when Dr. Aiken called me and asked me if I would do the chapel while I was here on campus, I said, man, you don't want me to do that chapel. But about 2 weeks ago, I began to get excited because I began to realize what God wanted me to say to you today. Because you see, I'm not here to teach you. You have many scholars on this campus to teach you. I'm certainly not here to preach to you. But I'm here as a fellow traveler. The only difference is I've been around a lot longer than most of you, and I've come a lot farther down the road than most of you. But I want you to know that I have sat where you sit more years ago than I care to remember. I was at New Orleans Seminary, sitting in chapel. Sometimes I sat at the back of the room and did my homework for the next class. Sometimes if it was boring, I took a nap because there's never enough sleep at campus. But I want you to know that I know about seminary housing. We lived in an efficiency apartment on campus that my husband said you had to go outside to change your mind. It was so small. I know where some of you are today. I know about the financial struggles that many of you have to go through at this time. I remember when we were on the campus, we had scraped together enough money to go to the grocery store, and we went to the store and I bought a pound of coffee. Now, I don't know about you, but coffee is a very important part of our lives, Harold and mine. And as I went to the store and got this coffee, I was so excited. I had a whole pound, and I went home, and we didn't have electric can openers in those days. At least I didn't have one. And I used this little hand can opener, and right at the end of it, I knocked it in the floor and spilled half of it in the floor. Well, I want you to know I scraped it up off the floor and put it back in the can. I figured that the boiling water that came to make the coffee would take care of any germs that were there. So I've been where you are, and I know some of your struggles, and I want you to know that you have embarked on the most exciting journey of your life. I've heard some ministers' wives say, oh, it is the worst thing in the world for your husband to be called to the ministry. Wives, I'm so glad some of you are here today. Because I can tell you, after 36 years in the ministry, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I love being in the ministry, and I'm here today to encourage your heart. I want you to understand that God is still at work in this world. I want you to understand that He is still moving, and I want you to understand the most glorious thing in your life can be to be set aside for ministry for God. And so I want you to get excited today. As you think of what's coming, after you hear some things that have come in our lives, you might not be too excited. But it is exciting to walk with God. In the state of Wyoming, there is one of the most magnificent sites in all of the world. It's one of two or three places that I would go if I could choose anywhere that I wanted to go. It's Jackson Hole. And there is a lush green valley. And out of that valley rises majestic mountain peaks. It's called the Grand Tetons. There's snow on the top of those mountains most of the year. And every time I go, I weep again at seeing it for the first time. Magnificent, awesome, wondrous sight. And yet there are those who live in the very shadow of these mountains. There are people who drive by these mountains every day, and they don't even look. It's almost like if you ask them something about the mountains, they would say, what mountains? They have lost the wonder of this majestic sight. There are other things around the world. I understand Victoria Falls in Africa is unbelievable. Niagara Falls in our own country is unbelievable. There are the Alps all over Europe. Wondrous, magnificent works of God. And yet people live and look at these places and never get excited anymore. They have lost the wonder. And what I would like to say to you today in the ministry, as you prepare for ministry, some of you are already serving in your churches, I would say to you, don't lose the wonder. Don't lose the wonder. First of all, don't lose the wonder that you have been saved. You know, I was raised in a Christian home in Roanoke, Virginia, not too far from here. I was taken to church all of my life. I came to know and receive Jesus Christ when I was 6 years old. And some would say that was just a natural occurrence for what has taken place in your life, for your upbringing. It's just natural for you to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior at an early age. Maybe some of you are in that same situation. But you know, I came to wish as I got to be a teenager and a little bit older, I came to wish I had something to talk about as far as my salvation was concerned. I hadn't run around, I hadn't done drugs, I hadn't gone out and gotten drunk, I hadn't done any of these things. And yet God showed to me many years after I was saved that it took just as much blood to save that little six-year-old girl as it did what we would call the vilest sinner. Because you see, God showed me that without him, I was a vile sinner. And that he had to use his blood to die for me too. Salvation is never a natural occurrence, folks. It is always a supernatural happening when salvation happens in your life. And if you lose the wonder, you forget how lost people are. You forget the misery of a lost person. And you are not apt to go out and try to reach them for Jesus Christ if you lose the wonder of your salvation. Don't lose the wonder that you have been set apart for service. Just as surely as Moses and Elijah and the prophets and the apostles, you have been set aside for service. Of the over 5 billion people in this world, God has reached down and chosen a minute percentage to serve him. And you get to be one of those. I get a little bit tired of hearing about all these people who have given up so much to serve God. That's not good. Teaching folks, and I wanted to say it's a bunch of bull, and I really shouldn't say that here, but that's really what I think. Because you see, it is, listen, I've got a lot to say in a few minutes. It is a wonderful privilege to be set aside to serve God. It is a wonderful honor to be one of his called out ones. Don't lose the wonder of that. If you lose the wonder, you will give in under the stress of the ministry. There is stress in the ministry. There's stress as lawyers, too, though. There's stress for doctors. This stress is a way of life. But if you lose the wonder of being set aside for ministry, you will give in to stress, and you will be burned out. And Fuller Church Growth Institute in California recently took a survey of all denominational ministers and said that 50,000 a year are leaving the ministry. You will become a statistic if you lose the wonder of being set aside for God's service. Don't lose the wonder. You'll be like the woman, the young businesswoman that Charles Swindoll talked about. She traveled all the time in her business. You know how airports are. Late planes not even taking off at all, just canceling until the next. Always something going on in an airport. Dorothy could tell us more of that than any, excuse me, Mrs. Patterson could tell us more of that than most anybody because of the way she travels. If you travel at all, you know this. And this young businesswoman was traveling again, and her plane was late again. And so she went to the little store there in the airport and bought a newspaper and bought a little package of cookies. She thought, well, I deserve these cookies. My plane's late. I'm going to eat them. And so she went and sat down at a table, and she put her cookies there in front of her, and she opened up her newspaper and began to read. Well, in a minute, she heard the rattle of that cookie paper. And she looked across her newspaper, and there was a man sitting on the other side of the table opening her cookies. Well, she was beside herself. He took one and smiled at her, and she frowned at him and moved him back over on her side. And she ate one, and she went on reading. In a minute, she heard the rattle again. Well, he was eating another of her cookies. And so she put her paper down, looked at him, frowned at him, pulled it back over on her side, this went on until the cookies were all gone. Then she heard her plane called. And so she got up and went to the gate and reached in her purse to get the ticket, and there was her package of cookies. Can you imagine? She thought she had been traveling too much. She was too stressed out, and that's true. And if you lose the wonder of service, if you lose the wonder, I laughed about that the whole hour when Harold told it. So y'all, please, every time I think about it again, I would laugh all over again. She was in stress, folks, and you're going to be in stress, but don't lose the wonder of being set aside for ministry. Professors, if you're here today, I would say to you, don't lose the wonder of your service to God through this seminary. I would just tell you what I read one time that moved my heart. It said when you teach someone, you embark on a holy time because you take a life in your hands. Now, professors, you have many lives in your hands. Oh, every year, every day, make your classes alive and real. Keep the Word of God fresh in your own life that you can put it out there. Don't just put out knowledge, professors. I remember my professors, and the ones that ministered the most to me were the ones that I knew, first of all, loved me, and the ones that I knew kept God's Word fresh in their hearts every day so that they were not just imparting knowledge, because knowledge alone puffs us up. But they were imparting their very lives to me. And so, professors, don't lose the wonder. You have lives in your hand. You can mold and you can help and you can strengthen. Many of these young students are already out in ministry. Sometimes they're having difficulty at home. They're always having financial problems. I've never seen anybody in my life in seminary that didn't have some financial tights. So keep your classes alive and fresh. Don't lose the wonder that you get to teach these young ministers and their wives. I would say next, don't lose the wonder that you can be sanctified. We've given that word over to the Pentecostals, but it is a good biblical word. You can be Christ-like. You can be controlled by the Spirit of God. I struggled for many years. You see, I felt I knew I had to have faith to be saved. And yet, somehow, it came across to me that I had to keep working in order to keep saved. It doesn't work that way. You can be controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, I'm working harder than I've ever worked in my whole life, but I have a new motive now. I have a new power within me. I came to realize that Jesus Christ wants to control everything about me. He is interested in what I put on to wear every day. He is interested in what I eat. He is interested in everything I do. He is not only interested, he wants to be in charge. And you can walk as close to God as you want to walk. God does not have favorites, but he has intimates. If you will remember in the days of the children of Israel when they were at the foot of the mountain, God spoke to Moses and said, take 70 elders and Joshua and come up the mountain. But he said, leave the elders at this particular place on the mountain. Leave Joshua a little farther up the mountain, but you come to the top of the mountain with me. I want to have an intimate conversation with you. I want to meet with you as a friend meets with a friend. Jesus had intimates. Of all the people that followed him, he loved them all. He didn't have any favorites, but he chose out 12 to be his intimate companions. And then of those 12, 3 walked with him, and we're told of Peter, James, and John throughout all of the teaching. And so God does not have favorites, but he has intimates. And you determine how close to God you're going to get, because you see, God doesn't ever move. And by dying to yourself on a day-by-day basis, by spending time in the Word, by praying, by walking in obedience with him, you can be an intimate with God. Don't lose the wonder that you can be sanctified, that you can live a holy life before God. Again, Swindoll said, God did not save us to make us happy. He saved us to make us holy. And that is what he has in mind. He is out to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Don't lose the wonder of the sovereign rule of God in your life. Psalm 115, verse 3 says, "Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Now, I don't know how he does it, but somehow he takes everything that comes into our lives and uses it for his honor and glory, and he uses it for our good. Romans 8:28, we love to quote, because it talks about the fact that if we're called of God and we love the Lord, he is going to use everything for our good. But Romans 8:29 is the very reason for Romans 8:28, because it says that he is out to conform us to Jesus Christ. He is out to make us like Jesus. And God knows in every one of our lives what it's going to take. He uses suffering many times in our lives. Dr. Patterson told you about our experience in Mississippi. But even before that, God was out to conform Harold, even before I met him, to the image of his son. And I'm sure at the seminary when he was there and there was a car wreck and he lost his wife and two children, I'm sure he wondered, "God, how can you possibly use this in my life? What good can you bring out of this?" And then as we were in Mississippi and Harold took a stand against the burning of black churches, he was number one on the Klan list to destroy. We had police protection on our parking lot. We, right outside our house, we lived on the church parking lot. You know how that goes. We had police protection there for 2 months during one summer. But you know what? He was out to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. If Christians never suffer, how can the world know that they can walk triumphantly? If ministers never suffer, how can our congregations know that God's grace is sufficient? And then there was the time that one of the loves of our lives, one of our daughters, walked away from what she'd been taught all her life and for 12 years wandered in the world. There's no pain like that, folks. Do you know what? God taught us so much during those days. My mother-in-law came to live with me for the last 7 years of her life. You think that's a picnic? I want to tell you something. I'd prayed ever since I knew her that that wouldn't happen. And so when it did happen, I knew that God had something in mind for me. I knew that he wasn't out just to punish me, okay? But I knew that I could learn something in the process. And I want to tell you, Harold and I learned so much during those 7 years. Not easy. Never is easy when you're learning something. But who wants to be static and not ever learn anymore? I'm just glad I only had one mother-in-law. I don't know what's coming in your life. I don't know what has already come in your life. But I want you to know that God's grace truly is sufficient. After 36 years and more things than you can imagine, a few years ago our church got in such financial difficulty with the economic downturn in Texas, we took a 45% cut in salary. Personally, we had to lay off 6 or 7 staff members. They were hard times, folks. But I want you to know that God showed me during that year or two something that I had forgotten along the way, that he was our supply, that the church was not our supply, that God was our supply. What a wonderful experience to learn all over again that God was going to take care of us, that he wasn't going to just kick us out there and cut off the limb after we climbed out on it. Oh, folks, wonderful adventure being in ministry. Wonderful, exciting days ahead of you. Don't lose the wonder of God's sovereignty in your life. Don't lose the wonder of the Scripture. God has miraculously preserved the Scripture through these thousands of years. And the amazing thing about it is that he can speak to our hearts every day through the Word. It is more relevant than the morning newspaper and a lot more truthful, I guarantee you. But don't lose the wonder of the Scripture. You can pick it up. He will comfort you through it. He will give you strength. He will show you his grace all through His Word. Don't lose the wonder of the Scriptures. And I would say to you, don't lose the wonder of your spouse. In the 30th chapter of Proverbs there, the writer says, there are four things too wonderful for me to understand. And one of those things is the way of a man with a maid. Don't lose the wonder of your spouse. Men, God says in the Word that your wife is a gift to you. He also says that her price is far above rubies. Now, I don't know how much a pound of rubies is worth, but some of you are very blessed. Some of you are more blessed than others. Harris always said if he could sell me by the pound, he'd be a rich man. Her price is far above rubies. And ladies, I would say to you, accept your husband. Don't expect him to be perfect. Sometimes he can preach things from the pulpit before they are operative in his own life. I told you I was raised in a Baptist church. I knew exactly what a Baptist preacher was supposed to act like. And when I married Harold, he was raised Catholic. He had no idea what a Baptist preacher was supposed to act like. And he still doesn't know, okay? But for the first couple years of our marriage, I tried to squeeze him into this little mold that I had in my mind for a Baptist preacher. And then the Lord graciously showed me that one of the greatest blessings in our lives was that he didn't know how he was supposed to act, that he was free to be himself with God in control. Now that's the key. Ladies, don't expect perfection out of your husband. But both of you together, I would say, don't lose the wonder of your children. You have the opportunity to raise these children for God. And a biographer said that Billy Sunday preached to the whole world and lost his own children. Take time for your children. Let them know that they are important to you. Don't expect them to do things because they're preacher's kids. That makes them sorry they are preacher's kids. Receive those children as gifts from God, and then train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So don't lose the wonder in many areas. In a survey taken by Christianity Today, it was an anonymous survey. 1 out of 8 ministers confessed to marital infidelity. If you lose the wonder, you can become a statistic. There has never been a time that I can remember that Satan has put on such an all-out attack on the family, the Christian family in general, the minister's family in particular. The latest thing that I heard from the convention board was that 2,500 Southern Baptist ministers leave every year. We need to stop that. We need to cut that down. 1/3 of those leave because of infidelity or some kind of sexual impropriety. Men, stay on the alert. Women, stay on the alert. Don't lose the wonder of the enemy's power either. But don't overestimate it. Jesus Christ lives in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And you don't have to give in to that kind of thing. But don't lose the wonder of your spouse. I'm convinced that many ministers do not preach from the pulpit on the family because they cannot back it up with their own family. And so be aware of this. Keep each other as the very center of your lives. Don't let the church become your mistress, men. But ladies, make home a place he wants to come to. And let me just mention here, Dr. Dorothy Patterson, is one of the greatest teachers I've ever heard. I've heard a lot of women. Women, don't miss the opportunity to get in on this class. Men, you see that your wives get there. I reiterate what Dr. Page said. You stay home with the kids if you need to and get your wife to this class. It will bless you personally, it will bless your lives, and it'll bless your ministry. So, there were some people in the Scripture that lost the wonder, and I want to tell you about them for just a minute. Abraham lost the wonder of waiting on God, and Ishmael came forth. Has caused hatred and war between the Arabs and the Israelis ever since. Abraham got tired of waiting on God. He lost the wonder. King Saul lost the wonder of walking with God, serving God, working for God. He started out as a humble man, but then he became proud and arrogant, and he lost his kingdom, and then he lost his life. He lost the wonder. King David lost the wonder of warfare. It says in 2 Samuel that at the time of the year the kings go forth to war, David sent Joab with his army, and he stayed at home. He got bored and restless, and you know what took place then. Bathsheba came into his life. Great sin, great misery in his family for the rest of his life. He lost the wonder of warfare. Someone asked a soldier of fortune one day, "Why do you fight? Why do you go all around the world and fight?" And the man replied, "Because there's a war." And as I read that, it occurred to me, as Christians, we ought to embrace spiritual warfare because it gives us opportunity to stand for our King. When you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a marked target for the enemy. And there is no discharge from this army, even though sometimes we'd like to have it. Embrace the warfare. Stand and fight. Be alert. Don't lose the wonder that you get to stand for God. King Solomon lost the wonder of walking with God. Wisest man in the world. God blessed him immeasurably. But he took strange wives to himself. He wound up with 1,000 wives and concubines who drew his heart away from God. Comedian Alan King said, "Can you imagine 1,000 pair of pantyhose in your bathroom every morning?" An impossible thing to imagine. Solomon lost the wonder of walking with God. Judas lost the wonder and betrayed the Savior. Peter lost the wonder and denied. Don't lose the wonder. The gospel writer put it this way. There's the wonder of sunset at even. The wonder of sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God could love me. Don't lose the wonder. Don't lose the wonder that you're saved, that you're set apart, that you can be sanctified, that you can walk with God. Stay on target. Don't lose the wonder. Thank
you. Would you stand with me, please? Barbara Chester will be here at the front at the close of the chapel session. If you want to come get acquainted with her and say a word to her, welcome to do so. Barbara, we are indebted to you for a challenge today that we shall take with us for sure. Thank you for coming to have our women's retreat here on the campus and for speaking to us today. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, our challenge today is not to forget the awesome wonder. And Lord, we hear that and we pray that you would enable us to remember the awesomeness of that God which we serve and the awesomeness of our experience and the wonder of our experience of being loved and saved and forgiven, regenerated, even called into the work of the Lord. And Lord, may we labor with the humility that only can come as a result of that understanding. Lord, we pray that you would bless the women's retreat this weekend with your presence and power. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless Harold and Barbara O'Chester and the tremendous ministries that you've given them and the inspiration that they are to us. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves this day to the task at hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.